If you'd hold that scripture there for a moment, I'll be reading from Deuteronomy 32 again here. The justice of God. God has many attributes. We have heard about his mercy. He is the God of love and compassion. He is the God of comfort. God is true to his word. He is present everywhere. He is all-knowing and all-powerful. He is also the God of justice. And God does not change. Some of the scriptures I'll be referring to, I won't allow time to turn to. They're just short, and we will, for the sake of time, I'll just read them. John chapter 1, verse 1. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We know that later the Word became flesh, Jesus, and he dwelt among mankind. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, we read, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." From these two scriptures, we know that God and his word do not change. Once again, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, I'll read verse 1 through 4. "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." All his ways are justice, but what does that look like? For the next few minutes, let's consider some thoughts about the justice of God. But first, let's look at some general features of our country's justice system. The American justice system is symbolized by Lady Justice. This is an image of a blindfolded woman holding a scale in one hand and a sword in the other. The blindfold represents impartiality. The scale represents the careful weighing of evidence and the pursuit of truth. The sword is meant to symbolize the power of law and the authority to enforce decisions. Those who are accused of breaking the law are tried in court, usually with the jury who will determine whether the accused is guilty or not. Now, the justice of God is similar, but while the justice system of man is prone to corruption, God's justice is incorruptible. Man's justice system is prone to bribery, false testimony, and threats against the jury or witnesses. But the justice of God has none of these shortcomings. The three concepts mentioned, impartiality, determining truth, and the authority to enforce decision, are what we're about to consider. Let's turn to the Bible to find out how these three things pertain to the justice of God. First, impartiality. God does not look at outward appearances or status, nor does he give favoritism in his judgment. Instead, he accepts anyone from any nation who obeys him and conducts themselves righteously. The Roman letter addresses the issue of those Romans who are judging others but doing the same sinful practices themselves. Paul's inspired writing states that God is impartial to whom he judges. In Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, we read, "But in accordance with the hardness of your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God." Paul also mentions God's impartiality in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, where he writes that God expects obedience from both masters and servants. Also notice in Colossians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Consider next how God determines truth. Determining truth in the biblical sense is straightforward. It is using the Bible to determine what is truth. In his prayer to the Father, in John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." The Bible is God's truth that we can know. We know that God himself is truth because he cannot lie. Paul emphasizes this truth to Titus in Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We read, "Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." In John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the Word of God that became flesh. God is indeed truth. And as for God's authority to enforce decision, God's authority is understood as absolute, supreme sovereignty of the Creator over the entire universe. Established by his divine nature, it includes the power to judge and govern creation, with Jesus Christ holding all authority in heaven and earth. In John chapter 5, verse 22, we read, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son as just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Also in John chapter 5, verse 26 and 29 through 29, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Judgment is a decision, a determinant of whether we are guilty or free of guilt. Following this decision, we will be sentenced to eternal condemnation or rewarded with eternal life. The decision is enforced by the inherent power of God through his promise, as we can read in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31 through 34, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Now the goats have a different destination, as we see in verse 41. "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" We see from these scriptures that God the Father has delegated the authority to judge to God the Son. Since God's Son Jesus is indeed the Word, the conclusion must be that we will be judged by the Word. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about the power and authority of the Word. In Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13, we read, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." It is clear that the authority to enforce the judgment decision lies within the power of the Word of God. And that word is available to us today. Justice is the concept of moral rightness, fairness, and equity, rendering to each person what they are due. The justice systems of man are corruptible by bribery and lying and intimidation. But the justice of God is incorruptible. God is completely impartial. He can determine truth since he is the source of truth. And he has the authority to enforce punishment on the wicked, as well as reward those who are free of guilt. We can use the Bible to measure ourselves. We can trust that God will do what he says. If we measure up to be righteous at our life's end, God's justice is a blessing, since we can know that he will give us eternal life. If we are found unrighteous at our life's end, God's justice is to be feared, since it will result in eternal punishment. Thank you.